Like, if you're not doing fantastic, it's actually like, we as pastors, we're like, ooh, you're not doing good? All right, let's sit down. We got a lot to talk about. What's going on? No, but if everybody's doing fantastic, that's awesome. That's good news. Well, today I get an awesome privilege to give you guys probably a very uncomfortable message. So, we've installed thumbtacks in your seats to make you completely uncomfortable. So be prepared. But the title of this message is Trust Me. How many people trust me? Shame on all of you. Shame on you. Shame. You do not trust man. Even though I am a man of God, do not trust man, trust God. But the title of the message is, Though God Saying, Trust Me. So it clarifies. Because this is what God's saying to us, okay? And we learned about patience last week. And patience is tough, right? I mean, we're not patient people. I don't know about you. I'm a pretty patient person. I'm good like that. I can do that. But I understand that that is a gift that I've been blessed with that about 90% of the population is not. So I can't have the same expectations on everybody else to be as patient as I am. It's tough. Being patient is tough. And we just have to accept that, right? But we did understand from last week that it's a necessity in our life. All right, especially as a believer, we need to have it in our lives. And God is the abundant and perfect supplier of patience. Right? We figured that all out. All right? This was good stuff. All right? And it has a purpose. And if we remember, there's a character trait that God's trying to instill in us, and patience is part of his character, right? But that's not all it is. But wait, there's more. Patience has an even greater purpose. And that purpose, okay, is to build faith and trust. And these two go hand in hand. They are cooperative. You can't have one without the other. Because believe it or not, if you're trying to build your faith up, what does that require you to do? That requires you to have trust in whatever you have faith in. And it goes in the other way, right? Because if you trust them, then you're increasing your faith. So this is going to be where we're going today, right? His word is designed to always build up our faith and our trust in him. It is actually his firm foundation. I did not know that before this word was written, just letting you know. I'm part of the worship team. I'm here on the rehearsal days, but when that came up, I just chuckled and laughed because this was already in there. But it's true. It is 100% true. Okay? What was that foundation designed for? Well, what's a foundation? A foundation is something that you can firmly plant your feet on. No, it's not going to shift. It's not going to move. It's stable, right? Something that you can count on 100% of the time, right? Why was he designing this foundation? Because he does not want us to doubt or question when it comes to who God is and what his plan is for your life. I'll say that again. He does not want you to doubt or question anything about who he is and what his plan is for your life. Now, here's the uncomfortable part. Do we trust him? Not many hands up. You trusted me, but you didn't trust him. And welcome to the reason why this message is uncomfortable. Because that is the dilemma, church. That's actually our major dilemma today. It is tough. It is a hard thing to swallow. We actually can sit here today and all of us can look at ourselves and go, yeah, no, mm-mm, I don't trust them. Why? Where did the trust go? Where did it go? We're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with it in a tough manner today. So the first scripture we're going to hit today is James 1, verses 3 through 4. Thank you, Dill. This is New King James Version. It says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, right? We've been here before. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Right? So we're taking a little bit of a trail from where we were last week, and we're going to continue from that point. But patience is that fruit that we need in our life to produce something greater, right? And now take a minute and think about a fruit. I like a lot of different types of fruits. I'm not a berry guy, so if you're a berry person, you can eat all the berries in the fruit salad all day long. I'll just eat the like pineapple or the apple, or you know, I'm good with the banana. My sister loves to make banana pudding. But take a minute and think about just a fruit and its general purpose, like an apple. Okay, just an apple. I was going to try and bring an apple, but I don't have apples at my house. I'm sad. What can that apple be? You can just eat it straight, right? It's still good as an apple. But you could puree it into applesauce. You could cut it into slices and cook it down with some cinnamon and put it in a pie crust and make a nice tasty apple pie, right? You can juice it and turn it into apple juice, right? It can be changed into something other than its original concept or what it was originally designed as, okay? Patience isn't done just by being patient. Patience has to produce something else. You get what I'm saying? Does anybody, like, this is just think about it for a minute. Patience actually has to produce something. Fruit has a seed. That seed germinates and produces more fruit. So if that fruit in your life is producing more patience, what's the reason for it? Is it just to have an abundance of patience? You'd be a really patient person. No. There's something greater, right? It has a perfect work, and it is to be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Here we go. Ready? Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Here's where we're starting to go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Who will direct your path? He, capital H-E, means him, God Almighty, he himself, Abba Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He. And preceding that was for us to not lean on our own understanding, right? Right here, what you're getting is a very deep, deep revelation of the enemy of trust, the enemy of trust in the Lord. Take a second. What is trust? Trust is confidence. Oh, real quick, if you're not aware, I am a dictionary snob, but I'm not just like, you know, Webster's.com dictionary snob. No, I go like hardcore, like back to like 18, like, what was it, 1828 or something like that. And like when the dictionary was actually written based out of like scriptural basis before, you know, a bunch of governmental officials came in and just like changed all the wording because, oh, it offends. Offend nothing. The truth is more important to know the actual truth. And so I'm giving you guys an actual real definition, which may differ from your dictionaries in your phone or at home. So just to preface that, but trust is confidence, a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another person or God Almighty. And if we take a minute and we think about why that is so imperative, why is that important? We're putting our confidence and all our thinking, all of our being, all of our processes in another. Where is that enemy? Who's the enemy of trust? Whose own? Who is own? You. You are. You are actually your own worst enemy when it comes to trusting in the Lord. You are. Why? Because you rather lean on your own understanding. What that means is that you're more relying on your physical eyes seeing the situations, your comprehension of what you can understand and comprehend in order to make a rationalized decision on what you're supposed to do in the course of your life. That's how you were raised and started off in your course of life. How do I know that? Because I'm pretty sure everybody at one point in time got disciplined by their parents. How many people got corrected? How many people got whooped? All right, you got whooped, right? What got you whooped? What got you whooped? All right, not listening, doing something you weren't supposed to do, right? You acted up, you talked back, you did something that you know, you probably knew right after you did it. You're like, whoop, I'm gonna get whooped, I'm running. And you're gone, right? And then you realize when you ran, you're like, I'm not making it better! You know, we can think about this, but take a second and think about what got you there? What got you to that point? Because let's face it, I'm pretty sure that 9 times out of 10, you already knew what you were doing was wrong. But you made a decision. You made a judgment, you made a decision in your free will to do something that was in opposition to what you knew you shouldn't have done. And now that's with a parental figure. So how do I know that you do the same thing with God? Well, if you're going to do it to good old mom and dad, you're probably doing it to daddy too. Right? You're going to do it because it's innate in who you are. It's a flawed design. It's not his design, but it was what the enemy had sown from the beginning to do that so in the garden. He sowed mistrust in who God was and his authority into man. That was what was birthed in the garden, and that is the burden of sin that all of us carry with us every day of our lives. Every day. And so, why was that important? Because here's the kicker, guys. If we did not have that problem, where would we be now? Think about that. The devil ain't stupid. I'll give him that one credit. He don't get no other credits. That's it. He's still defeated. He's still lost. He don't get no other bonus points. But that was the one credit I'll ever give him, is that he is smart. He ain't stupid. But that second part, right? 3:6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So what this means is that we have to get away from what we understand. We cannot rely on our comprehension. We cannot trust ourselves in situations. No, no, no. We have to do what? Acknowledge him. Pause. Somebody might say, well, how do I acknowledge him? Oh, that's a great question. You guys are really good question askers. How do you acknowledge him? Well, that's important, because when you reach a certain point, do you go to your understanding, or do you acknowledge who's standing right next to you going, so what are you going to do here? I mean, yeah, there's obviously a decision you need to make. What are you going to do here? Are you going to go and make best of what you think is right in the situation with your physical eyes and do everything? Or are you going to come and ask me a question? I'm right here. Acknowledge me. I'm right here. That's actually what he's saying right there in scripture. I am right here next to you. I'm standing beside you. I am with you always into eternity. I've never left you or forsaken you. I am right here. Ask me. But I don't know you that well, God. I didn't say you needed to know me very well, did I? I just simply said, acknowledge me. I'm right here. Has anybody ever been completely ignored? How's that feel? Isn't that the terrible thing? It's a horrible feeling. This is literally somebody just like walks right by you. Doesn't even make eye contact. They're like, I'm right here. God's like, I'm right here. Stop ignoring me. I'm right here. I'm not going to yell at you. I promise. Yes, no, I know you did that terrible thing yesterday. I don't remember it. Just pay attention to me for just a minute. If we can do that, who directs our paths? Who's taking our steps and planting them in certain points along our life's journey that is going to put us in terrible places? Because that's what God wants to do, right? He wants to put us in like literally worst place possible, right? No. No, he wants to deliver us to good and great and wondrous things. So if his plans and purposes for your life are great and excellent, shouldn't we really want to be in his path? I would think so, right? So how do we do it? Well, I'll give you some other scriptures. Go ahead, Dill. Psalm 32:10 says, many sorrows shall be the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Okay? So we get mercy when we trust him. What else do we get? Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. He is going to protect you. He is going to be merciful towards you. Sorry. Whew, that's a big difference. He's going to be merciful towards you. He is not going to sit there and consider the errors or the things that you've not done according to his plan. He's going to rather consider, where do you go from here? Have you made a better choice? Have you made a better decision? It's better to just start now. Don't worry about all the bad decisions you made. Start now. Make a good decision. Right? Our trust issues stem from two different areas, okay? Area one is that we lack trust in God and his way, but prefer only what we can see or comprehend with our own understanding. Do we admit defeat? Say amen. Amen, right? We admit. It's easy. There you go. It's like a AA meeting. You don't know you got a problem until you confess you got a problem. It's that simple. We have a trust problem. Area two has to deal with a very particular problem in the church. And that is our requests. Our petitions. How many people have asked the Lord for something or petitioned the Lord? How many people have petitioned the Lord for something that is just and good? Maybe not even for yourself. Well, you know, Miss Karen petitioned the Lord today for her brother. Is that noble? Is that good? Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, but this is where it gets so, so interesting. How do we react to that situation? Hello, God. Today I've come to ask you for you to grant me three wishes. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to make really good wishes. And when I make them, snap your fingers. I better have them. Why? Why not? You're God. You created the universe. You've created everything. Are you telling me you can't allow me to win the lottery? I didn't even buy a ticket. Just let me win the lottery. I don't believe in gambling. I'm not going to do that, but can I have a winning ticket? Come on. Come on. I know. Don't lie. You know you want to win the lottery. I mean, when it was like 700 million or whatever it was, I mean, like, everybody's just sitting there going, all right, like, I know I'm only going to get like, you know, 200 million, but dang, I could do a lot with that, right? Like, I could build like four churches. I could go like save Papua New Guinea. I could do a whole bunch of stuff. Like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things we could do, right? What we want to do stuff, but we don't really, really treat God correctly. And that's how we usually do it. He does, however, require us to make requests. So hear me. There's two parts to this. It's not, oh, well, if he's not going to work like that, then I'm just not going to ask him for anything. He's obviously too busy. No. He's definitely not too busy. But he does require us to make a request. There's a purpose to the request. Can somebody ask me what the purpose to the request is? Great question. guys are on fire today. It's awesome. I love it. What is the purpose of the request? The request is a need in our life so that we can build something in our relationship to God. I'll give you a prime example. My lovely wife and her lovely parents. She had made a very known request at a very young age that she wanted a horse. Horses are not cheap. Horses are maintenance. The animal itself you could probably get for a steal, but it's like a car. You need a garage for the car. You need gas for the car. You need maintenance for the car. And so is also a horse. It's a lot of work and it's a lot of maintenance, a lot of upkeep, and a lot of money that just keeps coming out of somebody's pocket all day long. It's a big sacrifice. But she made a request to her parents about wanting a horse. And there came a very point in time in her life where they told her, when you are 13 years old, you can have a horse. If you still want one. Now, this was like when she was like 5 or 6. Every day, she met somebody new. When I'm 13, my mom and dad are going to buy me a horse. When I'm 13, my mom and dad are going to buy me a horse. Who are you, little girl? Oh, my name's Jessie. Name didn't matter. The fact that she was getting a horse when she was 13 was more important than even, hi, my name is. Like, that's how relatively important it was. Now, I'm using this as an example because it took from that age to this age for her to actually get the horse, to which her parents made very good on their word. God does the exact same thing. The request is from you to believe that when he says something, that he is also going to do it. And so, whether or not you make a request, if you don't, you're missing out on an opportunity to have an even deeper relationship with your Father. Because your Father wants to, let me say it again, wants to meet those requests. It is his heart to bless his children. The hearts, the desires of your heart, he wants to give them to you in his timing. And that's where we mess up. Here we go. Philippians, Bill. Philippians 4 verses 6 through 7 says, be what? Be anxious for nothing. Very first thing. Don't be anxious. Jessie was probably the most anxious little girl for a very long time because she really wanted that horse. And it was like, I can't let this go because if I do, out the door it goes. So don't be anxious, right? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. By the way, that wasn't an option thing. If you make your request, no, let your request be made known to God. All your requests. It's like TLR. Or T, yeah, it was right, TLR? Total Request? No, TRL. That was it. Total Request Live. I don't remember. That was like MTV when they played music. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. So, how does this work? First thing, we talked about, don't be anxious, but instead, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. By prayer, supplication, earnest request. Make your request and don't even make it just a request, but make it also earnest. Make it right away. Why? Why do you think God's saying, make your request right now? What is going to happen before you leave church today? Goodbye. The enemy's going to go, ooh, that looks good. Mine. And out the door it goes. And that request, that one chance that you had to make your request known to God, the enemy's going to come in. Snatch it. Why do you think he wants to snatch that request out of your mind? Why? Because that request wasn't born of your own imaginative thoughts. That request was a spirit-led thing that God is pouring into you because he wants to pour something into you. He wants to give you those things. They're good. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. He wants to give you good and perfect things. So when that thought comes in and you don't request it, and the enemy goes, mine, out the door it goes. I'm a very forgetful person. I am. It is terrible. Like, you ask me, what did I do yesterday? I can tell you what I did yesterday, thankfully. But most cases, nope, I don't remember. I went to bed, woke up in the morning, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for a rejuvenated mind. It's the truth. It's very much the truth, right? So prayer and supplication, right? What is prayer? Well, prayer is just communing with God, right? We're just having a conversation. We're talking to him. But what does that do? Well, it ensures that you're actually talking to him. Newsflash. Prayer actually says, oh, hey, guess what? I'm not having a conversation with me. I'm actually talking to him. I'm connecting to the right source to make the request known to the right person who can get the job done. That's paramount. Okay. Next, what else should happen? We need to, with a turkey dinner, stuffing, and cranberry sauce. This is food, man. I'm sorry, I shouldn't preach when I'm hungry. I really shouldn't. It just all goes to my stomach. I'm joking. No, we should be thankful, right? Why? Because guess what? It's out of a thankful heart that God is going to bless those, right? It's out of a thankful heart. Did you get it yet? No. I'll use Jessie again. I bet you any amount she was super thankful that her parents were going to buy her a horse. I bet you she was even more thankful when they finally did. But she still was holding on to a thankfulness and a gratefulness that did she go around and say, oh, when I'm 13, I'm going to have a horse? No. She said, when I'm 13, my parents are going to buy me a horse. See, there's a difference, because one is acknowledging those who are actually bestowing the gift. You're thankful. You're grateful for what they're going to do for you. The other is just pridefully boasting about what I already have, which you don't. If she continued probably in that, she might not have ended up with a horse. They're like, keep talking, keep saying that. You ain't going to get nothing. We'll get you a My Little Pony, and that'll be all you get. Oh, yes, she did. My wife is not spoiled. Sorry, Lord. Sorry. Next. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, including yours. Including yours, right? And then what happens? Our hearts and minds are guarded. Again, why does your heart and your mind need to be guarded? I told you. Because the devil wants to steal it away. And here's the catch, guys. If you do this, it's like exercise, right? What is exercise benefit? You get stronger, right? You get more muscle, you get more strength, right? You're more agile, you're able to go and do more things, right? Okay? The more we do this exercise, what's going to get increased? Our trust in God, right? If we continue this process and do this how often? Every time a request comes into your mind, you go, I'm putting it before the Lord, and I'm going to trust that it's going to come to fruition. You're building that muscle. You're building that strength. You're extending that, right? What then gets grown? Say it again. Faith. Now, here we go. The windup and the pitch. Grand slam, home run. Here we go. Matthew 21, verse 21. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast out into the sea,' it will be done." See, that is why the enemy is terrified of you. Because if you exercise that muscle and you strengthen your faith, that's how dangerous you really become. Oh, I can just speak it and it will be done? Can you imagine what you could do if you had that kind of awesome ability? That you could just turn around and go, "This is going to come. This is going to happen. Oh, that's going to be done. Oh, this is going to happen. Oh, and that's going to be done." And it all comes. Think about it. Oh, no doubt. It will be done. See, that is what the enemy does not want us to have. Because with that kind of power, what could you do? Take a minute. Just think about that. With that kind of power, what could you do? Because here's the breaking news. Fox News, you know. Breaking news. You have that power. You already have it. See, Christ dwells within you. He has already birthed that ability in you. He is the source of all of this. So you have it. If you don't exercise it, you don't know that you have it. It's just like an atrophy muscle. Does anybody ever go through rehab? Sucks, doesn't it? Worst thing ever. I mean, they just beat you up. But they do it for a reason, because they're trying to return strength back to an area so that you are not disabled. That you are able. Not disabled, but you are able. And so in this same practice of exercising this aspect of who we are and our confidence in who God is, what are we able to do? We are not disabled in our ability to be a faith-based person and walk out in faith and do great and wondrous things that He's called us to do. We're not disabled. We are able. See, our lives as believers should be constantly demonstrating our faith and trust in God. This is actually how we're supposed to build our lives in Christ. This is what it actually looks like. It means we're actually doing some physical labor in our faith. You're like, "Wait, physical labor in faith? How does that work?" Easy. You make your request known to God, and then what do you have to do in the meantime? Be patient. And let me tell you, patience is physically exhausting sometimes. It is. It just is. But be patient, because God is patient. Amen? This is how we build our lives in Christ. If we trust in the Lord and we are patient as He is patient and as He works His plan, we get the benefit to see our faith grow. You will see it grow, because you know what it's going to happen? You're going to go, "This is silly, God, but I could really use help with this in my life. I could really use this. It would really be a benefit. It would really make my life easier." Like somebody might have a request for a better job. "I could really use this like great job. And this is what I believe it looks like. And this is what I believe it's going to be." And maybe you're self-employed and it's a business venture. God's going to turn around and He is going to bring that to pass. It will take time. And sometimes you may not like the way it looks, because sometimes it might look like you get laid off. And you're like, "Whoa, wait a minute. That's not what I meant. I didn't mean give me no job. I meant give me the better job." But this is the process. Do we trust Him? Even though it may not look like He's in control, let me be very confidently assuring you, He is always in control. Always. So even when it doesn't look like it, He's in control. Even though your car blows up, He's in control. Amen? He's always in control. And there's a good reason why he does everything that he does. And when this happens, we get to see those requests manifest in our lives. And who's given the glory? God is. That's why he wants to do it. That's the reason why he loves bestowing gifts upon his kids. Not because he needs glory, but because he's ultimately glorified through you. He loves to bless his kids. If only we would trust him. Amen? Amen? Come on, church. Come on. So your challenge today. Your challenge today. I always challenge everybody. Your challenge today is go there. Make your request known. But here's the catch. I'm going to give you guys good Bible practice tip 101. Write it down. Write it down. Date, time, write it down. I sat, prayed with the Lord today, made this request to him. Now, I am very much looking forward to the praise report on Sunday when you come in and you're like, oh my God, you won't believe what he did. And I'm going to go, how long did it take? Well, I wrote it down on this day when you preached this message and yeah, it took about 2 months, but he still did it. And I can't tell you how awesome it is because everything between that day and now, it worked out exactly as I could have never designed. Like I could have never thought of it. I could have never seen it coming. It would have never been the way I've done it, but it was exactly the way it needed to happen. And he is awesome. So the challenge I'm issuing to all of you is make your request known. Write it down. And when it happens, give him the glory. Amen? Amen? Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, God, that you've given it to your people today, God, in a fashion that motivates us, God, to step out of what we know, what we understand, what we comprehend, God, and start to rely immensely, God, on your way and your plan, your purpose for our lives, God. Let us not lean on our own understanding, God, but let us perfectly trust in your ways for our lives, God. We don't need to understand all the details. We don't need to understand the full trip from point A to point B, God, but we just need to have the faith to believe that when we step out and put our foot on solid ground, that you're right there next to us and you're with us every step of the way from that point forward, God. So I ask, Lord, that as you walk out today with your people, God, you continue to encourage them. Holy Spirit, continue to just minister to them. Continue to speak good things into their lives, God. And as they make those requests known to you, God, Lord, I know with confidence that you are already working it out. You are already authoring and finishing that blessing in their life, God. And that you will see it to pass, God. Because you are mighty and awesome and love to bless your kids. And so I give them that today. Your word and your blessing upon them in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 If you need